thank the Lord for salvation, and we desire that you would pray with us as we share with you the Word of God. We'd like to turn, first of all, to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we want to be, our text is going to be in the 27th verse, but we want to read a little bit more than that. We want to start at about the 23rd verse of Ephesians, and what we're going to talk about today is neither give place to the devil. The last time that we were here, we preached about the heads that God has around us. And that is a very true thing, that the Lord, there is a protection that we have in the Lord. And as we mentioned the last time, that we know that we can give permission to the devil to penetrate the heads that God has around us. Through our disobedience, through rebellion, we can penetrate the heads. The fourth chapter, 23rd verse. If you have it, read it for us, please. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So he's saying here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you know that there are things that the enemy presents to our minds all the time? One of the things that we have to fight on a day-to-day basis is thoughts. We can have a thought that seems like it's an innocent thought. And this is why the scripture tells us in one place to bring into captivity every thought. It didn't just say the bad thoughts bring them into captivity, but the good thoughts. One of the things that the enemy would present to us is something that appears to be true, and what we find out in the end is it's not true at all. I've been in situations where people have thought a certain thing about me or thought that I felt a certain way, and it wasn't true at all. And they were responding in a way that as though it was true. So what that shows us, and I've been in those kind of situations myself, where I thought that the way that I felt about what a person was doing, I had it right, I knew it was right, I knew what they did, I knew that this is how they felt about me and about the situation, and it was completely erroneous. And what that does is when we allow the enemy to plant those thoughts in our mind, then what happens is that gives him some place, something to work with, something that he has implanted in our mind, and he can work with it because it belongs to him. All right? So it says here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So in other words, I need to have the mind of Christ in that I'm not allowing the enemy to insert what he desires to insert in my mind. So, Lord, help me to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. And that we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. We want to look like God, don't we? We want to act like Him. We want to be what He wants us to be, in true holiness. Not just a holiness on the outside. Now, why did it say true holiness? If there is not a counterfeit, do you know that there is a counterfeit holiness? That there are folks that look like they're holy on the outside, but on the inside there's something altogether different. What holiness is not what's on the outside. What holiness is what's on the inside. I'm living to the level that God has shown me is right. I'm living to my understanding of what this scripture is talking about, and I'm living to that standard. That's true holiness. Not that I'm a good saint, I'm a good Christian when I come to church. And when I'm around other folks that claim to be Christians, then I can be all pious and act as though the way that I should act. That's not true holiness. True holiness is when the doors are closed, when nobody's watching, when it's just me and my family can testify, those that are closest to me can testify that I'm a child of God. That's true holiness. Not only it goes a little bit beyond that as well, because you can hide things from them. True holiness is when God Himself can speak for you. What did the Lord say about Job? He said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? That's God's testimony of one of his children. What you and I want is we want God to be able to testify that this is my beloved son. This is my child. and I'm well pleased in the life that they're living. That's the testimony that I want. That's the testimony that you want. All right? So that's true holiness here. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. For be ye angry and sin not. Now, folks want to say that Christian people don't get upset. Is that true? Have you known anybody that's gotten so spiritual, so pious, that they don't get angry? Well, the Bible tells us that anger is an emotion that the Lord says it's okay to have, but it's within a certain parameter. He said that you can go beyond what God has required you to go, and you can sin because of your anger. So it says here, be angry. I can have a righteous indignation because somebody has violated me or something has been violated that to me is of great importance. I can be upset about that. I can be angry about that, but I can't go to the point that it causes me to do something that God is not pleased with. Be angry. It's okay to be angry and sin not. Don't go beyond what God has said is the perimeter for you to go. The boundary, the line that He has drawn, so to speak, for you to go, that be anything beyond this is more than what you need. Now, some folks have an anger problem. They have anger issues. And if you're one of those people that have that, let me tell you, the Lord can give you victory over that. The Lord wants to give you victory over it, because what happens is when a person is angry, they can go beyond and they can do things, they can say things. You don't have to just do it. You can say things that aren't right. You can say things that you regret saying. You can do things that you wish you hadn't done. And oftentimes, when folks get into arguments, what I've learned, and I believe my wife has said in the testimonies and whatnot, that when it goes to the point where you say, go back and forth two or three times, it's time for us to stop, because what's happening is there's something that's rising up and I'm deciding in my mind that you ain't going to do this to me. Lord, help us. All right? So be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So in other words, you need to deal with that. This is telling us that you need to deal with the situation before it gets out of hand and before it festers. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Yes? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what we want to concentrate on is neither give place to the devil. And as you see this, there are a few things here in this passage of Scripture that shows that we can give place to the devil if we are not careful in how we respond and how we do certain things. So one way that we can give place to the enemy is to be angry, as we've dealt with. And it says here, let him that stole steal no more. So what happens is there has to be a change that takes place in my heart. There has to be something different that is different from what used to be. Lord, help me that I can live a different life than the way that I used to live. Now, the way a lot of folks that are in churches today, the way they're being taught is that the way that there are some things that you just can't keep from doing. There are some sins that you're going to commit. There are just some things that the Lord, when He came down to save us, what He really saved us was that He gave us grace. And it really wasn't saving us from our sins, it's saving us while we're in our sins. That's not a true assessment of what Jesus died for. Jesus died to save us from our sins. No matter what it is that you used to do, you don't have to do it anymore. No matter how bound you used to be, and whatever it may have been, you don't have to be bound anymore. He that stole, I've got good news for you. You don't have to do it anymore. You can be a kleptomaniac. You can go take medications or whatever it is that to stop you from doing whatever kind of behavior. But I tell you, I've got something better than that. What I've got is a good dose of salvation. You take that and you keep that down in your heart. You that stole, you'll steal no more. All right? If we make concessions, if we make concessions for those kinds of things, that gives place to the devil. All right? Any sin that we allow in our lives, any door that we fail to close, it gives place to the devil. All right? So he says here, he that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Now, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What does that mean? What does it mean? Don't let vulgar communication proceed out of your mouth. But what is corruption? Corruption is something that can kind of eat away at something, can it? So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Lord, help us there, because that's an area that we need to watch, isn't it? When there's gossip, when there's something that we've heard about somebody else, and we are spreading it, and it's something about us that seems like we're conditioned to want to hear bad news about folks, isn't it? Well, did you hear what so-and-so did? And rather than praying about it, you're spreading it. Do you know that can be corrupt communication? That you're starting something. Have you ever had somebody to start something? And you know, have you ever been around folks that talk about people all the time? We all have, haven't we? What did our mothers used to say? If you can't say something good about them, don't say nothing at all. Now, do we practice that? Do we practice it? And this is something for you to consider yourself. This is something for you to ask the Lord, Lord, do I practice that? If it's not, I don't have something good to say about somebody, do I not say anything at all? Or do I relish in telling everybody the latest gossip? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? Because that gives place to the devil. That gives the enemy an inroad. Because what happens is when you start talking about somebody else, and sometimes the reason that folks talk about people is to take their eyes off of themselves. And really what we need to be doing is looking at our own selves. I've got issues just like that other person. I've got issues in my own life. And as long as I'm working on those issues, I really don't have a place to talk about you. Lord, help us. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, all of these areas in our lives, if we allow bitterness, and bitterness can happen when we don't forgive. I don't believe that there's anybody in under the sound of my voice that has not been hurt deeply in some kind of a way. Somebody that was close to us said something that hurt our feelings. Or somebody that we know did something that made us feel bad. And one of the things that the enemy presents to us is, why did they do that? And then if you ask a question, no matter what that question is, there is something about our brain that's a lot like Google. If you put something in it, it is going to try to find an answer, isn't it? If you type a question into the little box there in the server, you type a question in it, it is going to search, do the search engine, and it's going to find the answers that are closest to the question that you put there. Now, that's what our brain does as well. If you say, why did they do that? Then there is all kinds of things that are going to come up, and there's going to be, in the search engine, we're going to find out that, well, they probably thought this or that or the other. Or if we ask a friend, and a friend is going to try to come up with an answer, not just listening. We don't really have friends that just listen and that's all that they do. Right? Most of our friends try to give us an indication of whatever it is that we're asking. They're going to try to give us some kind of advice. So here in this situation, we try to find an answer. Why did they do that? And sometimes the answer leads to us being embittered at them. And you know what we really should do in those kinds of places? We should say, you know what, I don't know why they did that, but I'm not going to concentrate on that. That's not going to be a, I'm not going to make that an issue. It's not going to prevent me from loving that person. Now, you know what, that's easier said than done. And you know what it's going to take, and we've all been there too. It's going to take us going to the Lord and praying about it. And praying, and praying, and praying sometimes. But Lord, he says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, where you're just going back and forth, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, sometimes it's in our best interest to look at what God has done for us. Have you ever thought sometimes what kind of a person you would be were it not for God saving you? Have you ever seen somebody and said in your heart and mind, you know what, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be just like that. I've seen that. I've seen it in my own self. I've seen it in other people. And I'm grateful for what God has done for me. I thank the Lord for that. All right? So what we want to say is, this scripture, neither give place to the devil. One of the things that we find in our experience is you don't have to give the devil much room for him to take over. But anytime that we open ourselves up to the enemy of our souls, the devil is going to take full advantage of everything that he possibly can take advantage of. I want us to go back to Job, and I want to deal a little bit with some of the things that I want to just kind of build upon what we dealt with the last time. It seems like the Lord, I didn't quite get finished with the thought here. So I want to go to Job 1, and I want to read starting at about the 6th verse again, and let's read down to about the 12th verse. Sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord. Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where are you coming from? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Didn't you put a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, that's what I want us to think about for a moment. That, in essence, what this scripture is saying to us is that the Lord made a fence, put a boundary around Job. All right? So this is Job. It's in here. And this boundary could not be penetrated by the devil unless someone gave him permission. So here is Job protected in here. And you might say that this is a wall of salvation, that the Lord gives each one of us we have the opportunity to have a wall of salvation. And in that wall is a door, is a gate, you might say, a door that we have every right to open or to close to whomever we want to. Now, what we find in Job's case is that Job went to present himself before the Lord. And he went to pray. And in essence, what Job was doing was making certain that he was safe within the center of God's will. He wanted to make certain that this protection was there. And do you realize that that's one of the reasons that we come to church? It is to build this wall of protection around us. Now, folks want to say, because you're a Christian and you just don't, you guys are so sheltered. Have you ever heard somebody say that? You don't know a lot about life. Well, you know, there are some things that we don't need to know about life. There are some things that I don't want to know. I don't want to know how it feels to be a drug addict. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know how it feels to be a criminal. That's my protection. As long as I'm obedient to what God shows me, then I'm protected. And do you realize that as long as you're obedient to the Word of God, then God protects you from all the things that are around. Nothing touches you that doesn't come through Him first. And as long as I have an understanding, and I want you to understand that we have to have an understanding of Scripture. And when we have an understanding of Scripture, we're to live by that level of understanding. All right? If you have a greater level of understanding and you realize that this is what that Scripture means, and God is requiring me to live that, my job, your job, is to make certain you live there. No matter where I am. No matter what I'm doing. My job is to make certain that I live to the level of understanding that God gives me. That's my protection. All right? So this was Job's protection. Job had an understanding that he needed to go and he needed to present to the Lord his sacrifices. He understood that. And because Job understood that, the Lord protected him. And the Lord said, the Lord testified for Job. Can the Lord testify for you? Can the Lord say that this is, have you considered my servant? Whatever your name is. Have you ever considered that the trials, the problems, the things that you're facing, the things that seem so difficult, have you considered that it may be that the Lord opened the gate and said, all right, I'm going to let you in. Unbeknownst to me. I'm going to let you in and you're going to wreak havoc in my child's life. And I'm going to show you that they're going to be faithful to me. They're not going to recant. They're not going to go back. They're going to be faithful to me. Do you realize that the Lord needs those kinds of testimonies today? Do you realize that the Lord needs modern-day Jobs that no matter what they go through, they are going to keep their integrity with God? Lord, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to be distracted by the trials and disappointed that you have allowed these things to happen to me. I'm not going to do that, Lord. By your grace, I will be faithful. And let me tell you, even though the Lord allowed the enemy to touch Job's life, because what we find is that there was a hedge about everything that Job had. There was this fence, you might say, this boundary about everything, his children, his animals, everything, his children, his animals, his wife, everything was within this boundary. Saints, this is why we pray for our families. This is why we not only pray for ourselves, we pray for our families. Because if you don't pray for them, who's going to pray for them? They're not praying for themselves. We know that the situations that they find themselves in, that a lot of times the reason our family is not as far out in sin as they are is because you prayed for them. How many of us would be where we are if somebody had not prayed for us? Where would we be? And many of us have had mothers and fathers that have been just some good, solid saints, and they prayed for us when we were out in the world doing the things that we should not have been doing. They prayed for us. And as a result, we were protected from a whole lot of things. And in some ways, that's what gave some people confidence to keep going was because of the prayers of the saints. Now, so the Lord opened it up for Job, and he said, all right, you can touch everything that he has within this boundary. I'm going to open up the boundary for you. But he said, on his body, you can't touch it. So the Lord still had some protection there, didn't he? And in the same way, do you realize that the Lord has protection for you and for me? We are the ones that cannot give place to the devil. Now, Job could have done it, couldn't he? What happened with his wife? He said, the Lord's done all of this. He's done all of this, and you've been a good Christian. You've been a good man all your life. Why did God allow this to happen to you, Job? They had some conversation. Let all bitterness, is what we said, right? So there was some bitterness that his wife could have had, that Job's wife had. Lord, here, and in one sense, if we look at it strictly from a human standpoint, we understand it. And we would almost justify it. Well, this woman had everything. She had her children. Now her children are dead. It wasn't just Job. It was Job and his wife. Those were her children. That was her security. And now God has done all of this thing to you. Job, just curse him. Let's just get out of this. Just curse God and die. And what did Job say to her? You talk like a foolish woman. God has given me all this good, and shall I not receive evil at his hand as well? Lord, help us. All right. So sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things. And those things are a test. They are not only a test, but they are a testimony. They're tests for you. So, they start out as a test. Lord, I don't know why you're allowing this to happen to me, but Lord, if you'll help me to be faithful to you. And that test turns into a testimony. And it becomes an encouragement not only to you, but to other people as well. But you know that you're able to go through the tests and trials of life if somebody else had not, if another Job had not done it. Lord, help us. All right. Let's go to Exodus 15, verse 26. Pray for us. Yes. How would you hearken if you will do what? Diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord. All right? And do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, one of the things that I'd like to bring out in this particular passage of Scripture, that there are some things that we must do, that we must, it says first of here, diligently adhere to what the Lord is telling you to do. There are some things that we have to understand that the Lord requires of us, and we are to diligently follow those things. We can't do it just haphazard. We can't do it just because somebody tells us to do, but these are the things that the Lord requires of us. Now, one of the things that I'm finding that we all have found, it's just not in my experience, but it's in all of our experience, that some folks want to say, well, that's just the way the church teaches, or that's just the way that you believe, then what we need to find out is not just in what I believe, but in what the Bible says. And how important it is for us to follow and diligently hearken to what God tells us. And saints, this is why I say to you, you're not just following what the church teaches. And folks are wanting to separate, this is what the church teaches, and this is what the Bible teaches. No, what the church teaches is what the Bible teaches. And what we have to make certain of is everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that is required of us is based on Scripture. And this is why I say this to you, because I want you to understand. I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to follow it just because this is what Brother Darrell, I don't want you years from now saying this is what Brother Darrell taught. I want you to be able to look in the Scripture and say this is what the Bible taught. That as long as we are following the things of the Lord, and do you realize that there are some things that if we follow diligently what the Lord tells us to do, then the Lord would, some of the things that happen to us wouldn't happen to us? All right, you understand? So he said, I won't put any of these diseases, the things that I have laid on the Egyptians, the diseases. And I'm not just talking, I don't want it to just be diseases as in sickness. But some of the things that happen, you know, mental things, the stresses, the illnesses that are not just physical illnesses, as long as I'm obedient to the Lord, and I've seen people, when they begin to back up on the Lord, and I believe that there is a thing as mental illness. I really do. I don't believe it's all just spiritual, only spiritual. I believe that folks' minds can be overloaded, and we are in a generation that has more pressure to the mind than any previous generation ever had. And so I believe that not everyone has the faculty of mind to be able to bear that. And so when those things weigh down on them, I don't believe that necessarily it's all just a spiritual thing that a spirit has taken over. I believe that there can be things that are mental. There can be mental breakdowns that folks have. All right? I believe that. But I believe that not everything that we see and that the psychology is saying is mental is mental. Some of it is spiritual. A good majority of it is spiritual. We hear about the young man that shot up the folks over in the shipyards in Washington, D.C., and we see that there were some things that were happening to him mentally. Not just mentally things were happening to him. There were some spiritual things happening as well. Now, do you suppose that God could have done something about that? Do you suppose if this young man had diligently adhered to the things of the Lord wouldn't have allowed the enemy to impose on his mind the things that he imposed on his mind? And saints, let me tell you, I know folks right among the people of God that the enemy has imposed things in their minds because they backed up. There was not a diligence about the things of God, and so consequently, they didn't have strong minds. You know, there's such a thing as weak mind. You know, the Scripture speaks about the feeble-minded. There are such people as that. And let me tell you, if you've got a feeble mind, your responsibility is to make certain that you diligently adhere. And most folks that have feeble minds don't know they have it, do they? But let's just say all of us have feeble minds. We do. To some degree, we do, don't we? And do you know, when we don't adhere to what God tells us to do, and we don't diligently follow that, and we find some little concession that we make or some justification that we make, do you know what we do? We open the door and we give place to the devil. Do you know what happens when we rebel against God? Against something that God has given us an understanding for? We give place. We just crack the hedge. And let me tell you, you know, I'm sure no woman in here like mice. Anybody here like mice? If you saw one in your house, would you set out a bowl of milk for it? Some crumbs? No, you wouldn't. You know, a mouse, all it takes is if he can get his head through, he can squeeze down the rest of his body and get in just a small crack. A very small crack. And in the same way, do you realize that that's what the devil is able to do? If you give a little place, a little rebellion, a little disobedience to the Lord, well, I'm not really sure that I want to do this. Let me tell you what we should do when we get to those kinds of places. all of us will get to a place in our experience that we don't want to do something that the Lord is requiring of us. I guarantee it. I can say it by experience. That we'll come to a place in our experience that the Lord is requiring something of us that is difficult for us, for the flesh, to accept. And we have to go and we have to pray and we have to ask the Lord, Lord, if you'll give me the mind and the will, I want to do what it is that you want me to do. If you'll give me that mind, I'll do it. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus came to a place in his life, in his experience, when he came to the cross, that if it was his desire, he wouldn't have gone there, would he? But what did he do? He prayed until he prayed through. And there are some times that you and I are going to have to pray until we pray through. Lord, this is not something that is easy for us to do. Now, don't suppose Jesus had just prayed once or twice, and he just said, you know what, I really don't want to do it. Do you know what it would have done? It would have gave just a little crack for the enemy to impose something. And so in the same way, what it does for you and me, what happens is, if I am not diligent in saying, Lord, this is not something that I want to do, and I don't come to the point of saying, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it. You know what that is? It's rebellion. I rebelled against God. And so consequently, what my responsibility is to do is to back up and say, Lord, give me what I need to go through this. Give me the kind of will, give me the kind of determination to go through it, whatever it takes. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll give it to you. And you know what you'll do? You won't give place to the devil. That little crack, that little area of rebellion or disobedience, it gives some place to him in some way or another. All right. Let's go to 1 John 5, verse 18. Yes, we know. Now, whosoever is born of God does what? They sin more or less every day. Is that what that scripture says? He that is born of God. And what does the scripture say in one place? It says that ye must be born again. Right? All right? So, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. All right. So it says here, he that is born of God doesn't commit sin. Now, saints, let me tell you, that doctrine is a doctrine that is of vital importance to us. It is of vital importance to the world. Because if you're going to say, you know what, I might not have a problem, this person, let's just put it in this way, this person might not have a problem with sinning, with stealing. But he tells lies. And so if a person that is born of God still commits sin, then this person over here, he got all of his sins are taken care of, but he still lies. And this person over here doesn't have a problem with lying, but he has a problem with stealing. And so all of his sins are forgiven and all of his sins are taken care of except for that one. And we can go right on down the line. And do you know what? Every sin that is in the catalog of sin, folks will be committing and still calling themselves Christians. And then when we get to heaven, what's going to happen? We got all just one sin, it corrupts, doesn't it? So what this scripture tells us is, he that is born of God, the Lord is able to take and renew that person in such a way, give them a new heart, that they don't have to sin anymore. They don't have to do it. They don't have to live a life where they are bound by doing habits that they don't want to be bound by. I want to be delivered from sin. That's why I came to the Lord, because there were some things that I was doing that I didn't like doing. I didn't want to do them anymore. They were a problem to me. They were causing havoc and wreaking havoc in my life. I didn't want that anymore. So I wanted somebody that was powerful enough to come reach down and pull me out of that sin. I didn't want to do it anymore. And so I came to the Lord and I asked, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive me of the sins that I've committed. And I want you to give me the power not to do them anymore. And you know what happened? God gave me the power not to do them anymore. And the Lord is able to do that for everyone that wants it. And then what happens? He that is born of God sinneth not. That's the first thing. So the Lord picks him up and he washes him clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is powerful. And let me tell you something else about the blood of Jesus. It can keep us clean. It makes the vilest sinner clean and it keeps us clean. Do you know what our blood system does? Our blood, actually, as we speak, as we're sitting here, our blood is constantly cleaning and keeping us clean, isn't it? Taking away anything that would, any diseases, anything that would threaten our life, it takes it away. It's the same thing in the blood of Jesus. Anything that the enemy would impose on us, any bitterness, any unfaithfulness, any deception, the blood of Jesus washes it all away. Now, you know what my responsibility is to do? He said he keepeth himself. He keepeth himself. So that means I've got something to do about whether or not I maintain my integrity with the Lord, doesn't it? He said he sins not, but you know what? At any given point that a person that has been delivered from sin, any point that they want to do it, they want to go back out there, they can. We're not under bondage to God. He's not going to make us serve him. It is going to be a choice that I make. It's going to be me watching my life. Me making certain that there, that the little doors that I can open, the little this boundary that God has set up for me, there is a wall of salvation once we get saved. Now there may be some things that I couldn't have helped in my childhood, and some things that seemed like some things broke through, and I don't understand. Some folks don't understand why they had the kind of childhood that they had. But let me tell you, when you come to the point of God giving us an understanding, then now you make the choices of how your life goes. You make the choices as to what happens in your life from this point forward. Do you know what? The Lord, what He does, He puts a wall of salvation in, and I'm inside that wall and nothing touches me, then either I don't give permission or God doesn't give permission. All right? And then it's my responsibility to stay there. Have you ever told a child, when we're children, yeah, you can go out in the, but stay in the yard. Have you ever said that? Don't go out in the yard. And it was that child's responsibility to do what? Stay in the yard. So the Lord says that there are some things that I'm going to protect you from, but if you step outside of my protection, then you're on your own. And let me tell you what happens when that child steps outside the boundaries. We set boundaries for our children, don't we? Every one of us. And that's where we're safe. And the Lord sets boundaries for us. There are some things that you can't do. And some things are within that boundary. It may seem like, oh, y'all are so sheltered. But no, there are some things that I want to be sheltered from. There are some things that is in my best interest to be sheltered from, and it's in your best interest to be sheltered from them as well. I heard somebody say one time, the first time that they had a drink, they fell in love with having a drink, with alcohol. And you know what ended up happening? The freedom to be able to drink wine coolers. Well, the Bible, Jesus drank wine. Jesus turned water into wine. The disciples drank wine. What kind of wine? You suppose that we can just have a little drink every now and then and it's okay? What about wine coolers? What about a little bit of gin, a little bit of vodka? It's not much. Put it with a little Coke and whatnot. Is it all right for me to drink that? Is it okay? I'm not going to get drunk. But let me tell you, what happens is we make a little bitty place, a little bitty crack where the enemy can get in. Where something can penetrate it, where it doesn't need to penetrate it. And as a result of that, you remember a few years ago when they had the space shuttle that blew up not too far from here? Some of the things were over some places in Texas. Remember that a few years ago? Do you know why the space shuttle blew up? Somebody, you remember that? There was, say it, tell me. There was a small crack in the tile. And heat resistant, and there was a small hairline crack in that. And as a result of that, when it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere, that crack affected the integrity of the whole space shuttle. And it took folks' lives as a result of that. All right? Now, do you realize that cracks in our lives, places where we've given the enemy leeway, places that the enemy has his finger on and he has property and he has authority in our lives, do you realize that that can be the very thing that causes us to blow up, to explode? Neither give place to the devil. No matter how small, it's just a little bitty thing. It's not much. It's just a small thing that I can get by with, but don't do it. Don't do it. Brother Darrell, that just seems too restrictive. We're trying to get to heaven. Do you know when you're going to go? Do you know when you're going to go? You don't know, do you? And therefore, I've got to be ready as though today is the last day on earth, and I've got to live as though it is. Lord, help me. So that little crack. You heard the story about, I don't remember, it just seemed like when I was young, there, the little child that stuck his finger in the dike. Remember that? And what he did, he held his finger there because there was a little water that was coming out. And what would have happened had he not stopped that? This is a proverb, perhaps. What would have happened had he not stopped that is the whole dam would have fallen down, burst. So those little places in your life that you don't feel are that bad, the Lord wants you to examine those places. The Lord wants you to see if those little areas in your life are areas that you are giving place to the devil. All right? Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you watching? Do you go to bed at night with your doors unlocked or cracked open? You see, the point is, we don't, do we? I've heard of a lot of friends or saints that live out in the country. They say, we don't even lock our doors. I know Brother Marty had said something about that. I can't say that I don't lock my doors. Sometimes we forget to lock them. Have you ever gotten up and forgotten to lock them? But you know what? The devil doesn't even have to, you don't have to give him a place. You just have to give him an opportunity. There are crimes of opportunity. And what do they say when you go to a parking space? They say, move your valuables, right? Put your valuables in your trunk and lock your doors. Why do they say that? Because there are some crimes of opportunity. And if they see something that is of value, all they need to do is open the door and take it. So there are some place, and don't, so in other words, it's not just talking about need to give a space for the devil, but don't even give him the opportunity. Don't give him the opportunity in your life. All of us have a right to not allow, pray for us. All of us have the obligation, let's put it this way, all of us have the obligation to watch. All of us have the obligation to make certain that our lives are lives that God can be pleased with. I desire that you'd pray for me. I don't want to give any place to the devil. I want this place, this boundary that the Lord has put around my life, I want to keep it intact. I want this wall of salvation to be to the point that the enemy cannot penetrate it, and I'm not giving him permission. That if he gets in there any kind of way, it's that the Lord has given him permission to do it. And then if the Lord gives him permission, then what I know in my own heart and mind is that God has given me the power and the authority to be able to go through it with victory in my soul. Pray for me.